tonight. We're glad you joined us because we are going to pray. We are going to intercede. We are going to come into agreement. But before we do that, we are going to plow and we're going to plant some seeds. And we're going to talk about how Satan does not play fair. And he targets every one of us. When we were children, he targeted us. He put the crosshairs on us when we were little, when we were not fully developed in our senses. And when we were vulnerable, he likes picking out his prey. I want to speak to every grandmother, every grandfather, every mother, every father, every aunt, uncle, niece, cousin, anyone who's a guardian over children tonight, you got to hear this devotional word. And I'm going to give you a disclaimer. I want to give you a warning that I want you to stick around because I don't want you just to hear this word. I want you to intercede into this word and I want you to pray into this word because this is an equipping devotional word. We're going to talk about, again, how Satan will target little ones, our little children, our little grandchildren, when they're so innocent, he will try to attack them. He will look for holes, weaknesses, vulnerabilities, and he will look for opportunities to completely dismantle them and make them dysfunctional and open the door for even demonic powers to take a stronghold and a foothold in their life. So get ready. We're going to talk about that tonight.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's up, family? Again, we've got about 128 people in here live, and we want to welcome you to the podcast. Again, if you're just joining us, you're just hopping in here, let us know if you're new in the comments, in the chat. Let us know that you're new and where you guys are joining us from. If you're watching the rebroadcast of this, maybe you come over here after the fact that we go live. Again, if you're new, let us know in the comment section below because we want to welcome you, either myself, admins, whatever the case may be. We love you already. We welcome you to the family. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me. We're going to go to the book of Mark chapter 9 and then go ahead and bookmark that and we'll pull it up on the screen. But I know if you're like me, I like to have a physical Bible. I don't know why that is. I guess I'm old school. And then Matthew chapter 15, Mark 9. Matthew 15. What I'm going to talk about, again, we're going to get into some heavy stuff here. Let's go to Mark 9 first. Let me pull this up right here. I'll be reading from the New King James. Again, this is Mark chapter 9, verses 20 to 23. I'm going to read this very carefully, and we want to be very analytical on this. We want to break this down. We want to pull some stuff out here. And then they brought to him, the him here is Jesus, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed. So what is happening here is they brought a child to Jesus. And when this child lay eyes upon the Messiah, immediately the spirit convulsed him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So there is a manifestation happening from this young boy. So he asked his father, now this is Jesus having a question. He's asking the Father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, look, I want you to highlight this if you have your Bible, from childhood. So watch this. This child has had a demonic spirit on him that manifests through throwing him to the ground, foaming at the mouth, and other gospel writers, I believe it's the Gospel of Matthew, said that this spirit would often take this young child and throw him often into the fire and often throw him into the water. Verse 22, and often he has thrown him both, again, in this text it says it as well, into the fire and to the water to destroy him. Somebody say destroy him. I want you to notice here, there is a spirit involved with a young boy with the agenda to destroy him. Now look what the father says to Jesus. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now I'm going to pull this back. I'm going to talk to you for a minute. So here we have, I think this is going to answer a question that many people have. And that is, can a young child be demon possessed? Can a young child be demon oppressed? The answer is yes. We have context for this. We have a point of reference for this in the Holy Scriptures of the Word of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I have witnessed demonic possession among children. And I would love to hear from you in the chat. Has anyone ever had an eyewitness personal account of a child who was demon possessed? Hit me up in the chat. Let me know in the comment section below as well. I remember many, many, many years ago when I first gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I was a part of a youth group in my small country church in Kentucky. We were scheduled to go to a conference. This was in the Church of God of Prophecy. Come on, do I have any COGOP people in the house? Y'all know what I'm talking about. COGOP. That's what I cut my teeth on, is the COGOP. It's a branch from the Church of God. But anyway, we went to a conference, and I remember we took a bus, and we picked up one particular teen. Now this was a teenager, probably about 14, 15 years of age. She was very introvert. She was very quiet, didn't really want to talk to many people. She didn't like to be seen in public much, but nevertheless, every now and then she'd come to the church, so we knew who she was. So we invited her, and she did go. She did want to go out of her own will. So she sat on the very back of the bus, didn't really want to, she would make small talk with everybody, didn't really want to talk to anybody. And then I'll never forget. And the reason why I'll never forget, because this was my first ever encounter with a demon-possessed person. We were during this conference, and now check this out. Here we are in this conference, and it was in the middle of, praise God, Pamela. I see Pamela, COGOP. We see Carol. I don't know if she's COGOP, but anyway, we've got a couple folks in here that's come from that denomination and that background. We were in a worship service. I mean, we're talking about, we were pressing in into worship. And you could feel the presence of God. The atmosphere in the building was changing. You could feel the presence of God. It was getting thick in that place. People were weeping. People were rejoicing. People were clapping. People were shouting. It was just a praise. Listen, when you get into the presence of God, people express their emotions differently, and that's okay. Some of y'all shout and scream at a football game or at March Madness when your team wins, or when you're at a football game and your team gets a touchdown, you lose your mind, you scream, you come home, you're hoarse, because you've lost your voice from screaming so much. You're sore from climbing up them steps so much and going to the concession stands and jumping around, hopping around. But why are you quiet in the house of God? I've never understood this. How can people be this expressive and be this emotional about sports or about a celebrity or a musician or going to a concert? But they come into the house of God and they sit on their hands and they're standing on the promises of God while they're sitting down. I never understood that. Come on, somebody. They're standing on the promises of God while sitting down. If we would just bring that same expression and that same gratitude and that same tenacity into the house of God. And listen, when you get a group of people, Jesus said it like this, if two or more gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. And he says this, he said, if you'll draw near unto me, come on, talk to me, somebody. What did he say? I'll draw near unto you. If you'll raise your hands, if you'll lift up, he says, I will inhabit the praises of my people. So here we are, we are in a unified body of believers, and people were pressing in and worship. And all of a sudden, about 15 feet behind me, I heard this most, I don't even know how to describe this. It was a horrific, screeching, growl, guttural cry that made my hair stand up on the back of my neck, and a chill went all the way down my spine. Now, all of us heard it the first time, and we were like, okay, what was that? And then we heard it multiple times, and I'll never forget this. One of the guys that was with us, he understood this wasn't his first rodeo on this, and he said, somebody's manifesting a demon. And remember, I'm here. I am a baby Christian, still got my diapers on. Come on, still got my pacifier in my mouth. I'm probably 3 months older than the Lord. This is all alien to me. I don't know anything about this. I'm like, a what? I'm freaking out. And they said, yeah, and they look back and they said, I can go ahead and say her name. They said, it's Melissa. And I said, who's my, now keep in mind, at that time, I'm engaged to my Melissa, which is my wife today, but I didn't think about the Melissa they were pointing to was the young girl that we picked up on the bus. That expressed weird behavior and strange and isolated from everybody. Didn't want to go to. Well, now she went from quiet as a mouse, not talking to anybody, introvert. Now she is screaming, gnarling, gnashing, foaming at the mouth, and she was demon. She was manifesting demons. She was demon possessed, and they ended up taking her in the back of her room. And they cast this devil out of her, this spirit, okay? There's different terminology. Don't get hung up on the terminology, guys. Some devils, demons, evil spirits, there's different terminology, okay? Some people say Holy Ghost. Some people say Holy Spirit. The old timers, like, again, I'm 48 years of age now. I just turned 48. I'm easing into the old timer stage, especially with my theology and the way that I stand on the word of God. I say I'm old school because the newer generation calls it Holy Spirit. Us older folks, come on, can I hear an amen in here? We know Holy Ghost. We talk about Holy Ghost because that's that King James terminology, right? The newer translation. Anyway, I don't want to get caught up in that. So watch this. Don't miss my point. Here is a young girl, 14, guys, 14, somewhere between 14, 15 years of age that had to be delivered of a demonic spirit. And I remember that was a life-changing experience for me. Because number one, from that moment on, guys, when I got around other circles and other denominations, they tried to convince me and tell me that people can't be demonized and there's no evil spirits today and all this stuff. I just laughed. And I said, brother, sister, if you were where I was standing, where I was sitting, and you saw what I saw. And guys, this is only one story. I could sit here all night. I could go another 30 minutes and talk about other stories. If you experienced what I saw and what I seen firsthand, this wouldn't even be a discussion right now. It wouldn't even be debatable. So again, guys, I'm going to tell you something. Just because you've never seen an evil spirit, and oh, I'm going to make a statement right here. A lot of Christians have never seen the manifestation of evil spirits because they've never been in an atmosphere that brings them to surface. Let me make it a little bit more plain and simple for you. A lot of Christians don't ever see demons manifest in their church because the demons are comfortable in their church and they remain hidden in the church because there's no authority, there's no anointing, and there's no presence and no power, come on, to bring them to light. Oh, can I get an amen? Say, not my church, preacher. Listen, so I'm trying to tell you, here's the point I'm making. I said all that to say this. It baffled me. I'm thinking to myself, my goodness, what could a 14-year-old girl have done to open the door not to be oppressed of a devil, but to be possessed of a demonic spirit? But again, I was I wasn't learned in the scriptures then. I didn't know. I didn't have enough experience. And then as I studied more and researched more, again, one of the first things I did was go to the scriptures. And I found that here we have this picture of a young man in Mark chapter 9. That he himself, now the Bible never tells us his age, but we know that he was demon possessed, and his father testified that this had been happening to him since he was a child. So he could be in his teens, he could be a young man, he could be in his 20s, we don't know. But it appears that it has happened, it's been going on for a long time, and no one had the authority to set this young man free. Now let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 15. Again, Matthew chapter 15. And then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples, wait a minute, hold on. That's not what I want. Let's go down. Excuse me, guys. Sorry. Let's go on down and we'll go to verse 21. Again, Matthew 15, 21. I apologize. And then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, now listen what she says, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. Well, look what she says. My daughter is severely demon possessed. Now, here we again. Isn't it interesting that God made sure that we have a point of reference of a young boy and a young girl, both demon possessed. So here's this woman crying to Jesus, have mercy on me, son of David. My daughter is severely demon possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. Now, guys, there's a reason for this, because she was a woman of Canaan. And I don't want to go into the whole backdrop of this, of why it was unheard of for a woman like this to come to Jesus, because the Jews and those of this region were enemies. They didn't get along. This was taboo. This was like the Hatfields and McCoys. I don't know how to explain it to you, but I'm just telling you, this is why this dialogue's happening. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now look at her response. And then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Again, this is a very negative thing. It's like, really, Lord, why would you say this? Now watch this. And then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Hallelujah. So here is what we need to draw from. We have a young man and a young woman, young boy, young girl. Both were demon possessed. And the question lies in, you have to ask yourself this, how did they get demon possessed? What opened the door for this? How did it happen? Both of these stories never go into descriptive details to tell us how it happened. Just like the man at the Gadarenes that was possessed by a legion of demons. We're talking about thousands of demons. It never said how he opened himself up. We never get this backdrop. Okay? Oh, and by the way, I want you to think about, chew on this for a second. One man in the Bible was possessed by a legion of demons. A legion is a Roman term that was used in that day that was common, and it literally meant over 2,000 Roman soldiers. So when he said when this demon spoke out and said, we are legion, for we are many, we're talking about up to 2,000 demonic spirits in one body. Why am I saying that? Because one individual has the capability or the capacity to be demon possessed by not one, not three, not six, not 10, not 100, not 1,000, but even more demons. Think about how terrifying that is, guys. Think about that for a minute. And here's something else, just a point of discussion here. It's interesting to me that when those demons were cast out of this man of the Gadarenes, those demons begged Jesus not to send them to hell, but they said, let us go into the swine. Do you know why the demons wanted to go into the swine? Two reasons. Ready? Number one, swine, you go read Leviticus, read the Levitical dietary laws. Jews were not permitted to eat swine, pig, pork chops, hot dogs, bacon, sausages. Come on, I just lost you right there. They were not permitted to eat that. It was considered to be unclean. Demons like to dwell in unclean vessels. Number two, did you know that these swine, I did some research on this, these pigs that were there in that location were being raised to be worshipped by the at the altar of Zeus. So demons love worship. And this is why, this is the twofold reason why they wanted to go into the pigs. One, they were unclean vessels. Number two, is the demons understood that these pigs were going to be worshipped. And when those pigs were being used as a form of worship to Zeus, those demons would receive the worship. Oh, come on. That's why you got to go back and watch today's podcast, because demons are attracted to idol worship. When you worship a thing, a person, come on, anything of that nature where you express that type of emotion to it and worship, and you give gifts, you give your time to it, you devote your energy to it, you become passionate with this, it is idolatry. It is worship, and that, my friend, attracts demons. It attracts demons 101. So here's what I want to tell you. Satan, again, I said this before, Satan does not play fair, and he will look for every point of entry to an individual's life, and he doesn't wait till you're 30 years of age. He doesn't wait till you're 40 years of age. He doesn't wait till you're in your elderly years. No, he comes after you when you're 5 years old. This is why, listen, in the culture, I'll almost say something right here that's going to be controversial. It won't be controversial to this crowd, but it'll be controversial to somebody out there that probably is going to tune into this or get invited to this podcast. But listen to me. Why do you think Satan has been working overtime? Because you know that principalities work through personalities. Demons need a vessel to work through. So if demons love unclean vessels, he will work through individuals whose lives are unclean. Many times, demons will operate through people that are unclean. They're living a very immoral life, a lascivious lifestyle, a life of debauchery, wickedness. They're confused. They practice homosexuality. They practice bisexuality. They practice all kinds of sexual immorality and all these things. And they are full of demons. So you got these people that are full of demons trying to infiltrate our school systems. Are you hearing me? And try to propagate agendas. Why? Remember, we don't wrestle flesh and blood, guys. I need you to look beyond this. I need you to look into the unseen world and realize that this is Satan's, come on, administrators going into this. I'm just using one example, okay? Into the education system. Why? So that if he can raise up, watch this, a transgender storyteller, who I'm telling you right now is full of demons. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I don't care. Listen, I don't cater to the politically correct nonsense. They're full of demons, and they're getting up there reading these agenda book driven books to these children. You know what these children are doing? This is why I grieve when I see parents that allow their children to sit under that nonsense, because they don't realize what they're letting their children sit under. And Jesus said, woe unto you who cause one of these little ones to stumble, for it'd be better for you if a millstone was tied around your neck and you were thrown into the ocean. And so there, these demonic spirits are being unleashed in our education system, and they're coming after your children at 4 years old, 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old. So now your kids come. Now you know why they come back home. And now there is a spirit of confusion on them, wherein which they don't even know what gender they are, even though they can go to the restroom, if I'm blunt, and pull down their pants and tell what gender they are, but they have been demonically influenced by these demons and by the host that's speaking this nonsense over them. Oh, come on. I'm going to preach tonight because I feel like a preaching spirit. God, we're going to pray, but I got to get this across tonight. So listen, even in an early age, so watch this. Satan will use people. He can use ungodly, unsaved parents. He can use ungodly, unsaved grandparents. He can use ungodly, unsaved brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, nephews. Because listen, we don't do sleepovers at my house. I know kids like, well, can I sleep over at so-and-so's house? Or I want to sleep over. No. We don't do sleepovers. And let me tell you why we don't do sleepovers at my house. We never did. My oldest son is 16 going on 17. We didn't do sleepovers. My 9-year-old, we don't do sleepovers. Why? Because in my house, in my atmosphere, under my roof, I can control the environment. Are you hearing me? The spiritual environment. I know what's going on here. I can see, I can monitor this. But you think for a minute, unless I really know the parents. Now, we'll make an exception, but most of the people we know and we hang around with in our small group of people, all their kids are older. They don't even do sleepovers anymore. But if it was, come on, Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled believers, because you can't even trust some so-called Christians. They may say they're Christian, but they're not. Okay, so I am very selective because I remember one time we let our oldest son, he stayed over his cousin's house one time and he had a tablet. This was years and years and years ago. And one of the older cousins was trying to show him pornography on a tablet. I was livid about this, livid. Because all it takes, friend, is one entry and one door. And that's what Satan's looking for. One entry, one door. Listen, let me talk to my Southern folks here. When it gets hot and humid in the summer, you can leave a cracked window open just for a moment. And I'm going to tell you, a fly will get in. I'm talking about a 30 seconds. You open a window just for a second for whatever reason. And all of a sudden, 5 minutes later, you're like, how'd that wasp get in here? How'd that fly get in here? Come on, how'd that get in here? All it takes is a little crack. So Satan will strategically scope out family members and he will look for opportunities to enslave them and entrap them and bring them into bondage, whether it be pornography, whether it be alcoholism, whether it be anger, whether it be resentment, rejection, whatever the case. Guys, I don't need to list 14, 15, 25 different things. We get the point here. Okay? So, at an early age, these children are very emotionally sensitive and they're very mentally impressionable. So, this is why it is imperative for us as believing parents and grandparents to, come on, Proverbs 22:6, is plant the seeds of the gospel into them, train up a child in the way in which they should go, and that when they're old, they will not depart from it. This is why it's imperative. It's imperative for us as believers, as parents and grandparents, that listen, we can preach all day long, but our lifestyles have to reflect. And I'm telling you guys, I'm just as guilty. I have struggles as much as you do. My biggest struggles have always been entertainment. I don't want to rehash all this, but movies, music, I was raised. Come on. People asked one time, why do you 80s and 90s people love your music so much? Because we didn't have social media. We didn't have TikTok and Facebook and Instagram and YouTube. We expressed our emotions and our feelings through our music. So when our favorite artist wrote a song, we could express our feelings by playing a song. Come on, can I get a witness to somebody in here? Come on, have you been saved so long that you forgot where you came from? I'm telling you the truth right now. That's why all these 70 folks, 80s folks, 90s folks, that's why we loved our music, because we didn't have these vices. But now we had a different vice. There was other vices. Don't think that, listen, Satan's strategies are the same. He just uses different tools and tactics. Are you hearing me? All those things can enslave you as well. Come on. Once I got born again and got saved and I go back and listen to some of that music, I'm like, wow, okay, never heard that before, never realized that, never really got the concept of those lyrics. But once the veil comes off and you're born again, come on, your spirit man is sensitive to these things and you see these things. So words, guys, words are words. I was exposed to verbal abuse growing up because I grew up in a home full of alcoholism. So my stepfather would get drunk, and when he got drunk, it meant that he would begin to swear, he'd begin to curse. And when I say, I'm not talking, now swearing and cursing is two different things. Swearing as in swearing words, four-letter words, colorful words. Cursing as in speaking word curses over me when I was a little child. You'll never amount to nothing. You'll never do this. You'll always be this way. You'll always be that way. I didn't understand this as a child, but as I grew up, guys, those words take root. Are you hearing me tonight? So words, these cruel words, the sexual abuse, the anger, all these things create holes in the emotions of children. And they can become bigger and larger. And the only way, here's what I'm bringing home tonight. The only way they can get patched up, these holes and these tears and these rips in our soul. You ever heard of soul ties? This is why you go out there and you sleep with anyone outside of marriage. Number one, it's called fornication. And you do this, you become one flesh. Listen, I don't have time to preach 45 minutes on the book of Corinthians, talk about that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. And when you take your body and you go into a woman or go into a man, you're taking the Spirit of God with you. And there's consequences to that. You become one flesh with them. And with that, listen, it's just not a physical thing, but you are meshing your spirit and your soul what we call a soul tie in the body of Christ. So you know what happens? Watch this. So they have emotional baggage. They have dysfunction. They have addictions. They have a pre-preposition or whatnot to be an alcoholic or to be an addict. And now all of a sudden, you go out here and you commit this act with them. Now all of a sudden, you start taking on those mannerisms. Now you're struggling with those addictions. Now you're having mental issues. Now you're having dysfunction. Now you're having weakness. Where did this come from? What happened? You opened the door for it. And this is what happened. So Satan knows this, and this is why he's working overtime in enslaving and entrapping our children. So here's what we're going to do, guys. I know we've went long with this devotional, but I appreciate the 161 people that has the patience with me to stick around. Again, it's going to be a little bit different tonight, guys. Typically, we pray over people in this, but we're going to do a prayer. This is going to be a mass prayer, and I want everyone under the sound of my voice. There's going to be groups of people here tonight. Number one, if you're a parent or a grandparent and you have children, small children, 5 years old up to about 12, 13 years old, 13 years of age. Again, parents, grandparents, maybe you're a guardian of some sort. You have them under your guardianship. We're going to pray. Number two, maybe you're watching, you're listening, and as I begin to deliver this word tonight, as I begin to speak on this word tonight, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit began to make manifest and bring to light some things that you struggle with today. And you struggle with hangups. You struggle with addictions. You struggle with bondages today. And it's a direct cause of something that was planted as a seed as a child. Now Satan has tried to convince you because he is a liar and the father of it. He's the accuser of the brethren. He wants to condemn you, and he wants to tell you that you can never be set free. This is who you are, and this is who you always will be. You will always be an addict. You'll always be addicted. You'll always be in bondage, and you'll never be set free. Well, I've come by tonight to inform you and tell you that the devil is a liar in Jesus' name. And the Bible says, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Now you may be free as in salvation. You may be free as in you've been born again. But listen, your spirit man is saved, but you struggle in the flesh. Paul was saved, but he struggled in the flesh. Did you know that? Read Romans 7 if you don't believe that. He said, the thing I will to do is the thing I don't do, and the thing I don't want to do is the thing I end up doing. It's called sanctification. I know this, nobody preaches on this hardly anymore, but guys, it is the will of God, read it in your Bible, that you be sanctified. We're all, and here's the kicker, we're all being sanctified. Come on, in his presence, and we will never be perfected until the day that we either go on to be with Jesus or he blows that trumpet and splits that eastern sky and we go be with him. There is no perfection as in what we perceive to be perfection. Now, when the Bible says, be therefore perfect as your heavenly Father, we're talking about a Greek word here. We're talking about maturity, maturity in the Lord. Now, we can get to a place where, come on, I believe we can get to a place in the Lord. I'm not saying we can ever get to a place where we never sin. Listen, you're listening to a preacher. I don't believe that. Other preachers have, I've heard preachers say that and I've cringed when they try to present this gospel that they present this where in which someone can walk in a place where they never sin. I'm sorry, but the Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Even John says, if any man says he sins not, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. If we're going to measure sins, we've all sinned. We're all going to fall short. That's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about here is you love God, but you struggle. You love God, but you struggle with an addiction. You love God, but you're in bondage. You love God, but you struggle with anger and resentment and bitterness. You love God, but you can't trust anybody. You love God, but you won't go to the house of God because you've been wounded in the house of your friends. You've been wounded in the house of God. You've been wounded. You've been hurt by pastors and those in leadership. You've been wounded by other Christians. You don't want to receive any prophetic word because you've seen so many false prophets, so many prophetic words. Guys, these are wounds and hurts. You love God, but you struggle with lust. Wow. You love God, but you struggle with pride. This is what I'm talking about tonight. And you have to ask yourself, that just didn't come over one night. You didn't wake up one day and, hey, I think I'm going to get been in bondage to this, or I think I'm going to struggle with this. No, guys, if you really pray and ask the Lord, he will show you there was an entry, there was a root cause to this. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you, there's 160 people in here watching tonight. We're not talking about demon possession as far as these people that are watching and most of the people that have watched this, because if you were demon possessed, you wouldn't be watching this. Without, listen, demons will not remain comfortable in the presence of God. Now, if you were and you came, what's going to happen is that demon's going to manifest. And it's going to tell you, get offline, get off this chat, get off this podcast, go in, get out of the service. Get off the church. Just like that girl that I told you about at the service. Why did she manifest in the middle of worship? Because God was being lifted up and glorified, and that demon couldn't stand it and was manifesting. Come on. Oh, God, that we would have such a presence of God in our homes and in our lives that the demons would tremble and they would manifest and they would have nothing. Jesus said, Satan has come, but he has nothing in me. I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to have anything in me that he can put his hooks in. So here's what we're going to do. If you have kids, small children, parents, grandparents, come on, let's pray for them right now. I'm going to lead us in prayer, and I want you to agree with me right now in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, and Jason, I see you in the chat, brother. I haven't forgot about you. Now some of y'all are like, who's Jason? I know you're watching this, listening to this, but I talked to him privately and he wanted us to come into agreement with him, and we're going to come into agreement with him. So we're not going to forget, and I'm going to let him. And if I do start to forget, which I don't think I will, he will remind me. So listen, we're going to pray right now in Jesus' name for our kids and grandkids. Heavenly Father, we lift up our children before you, God. You said that children are a blessing. You said blessed are those whose quivers are full of them. Lord, they are the blessings of God. These sons, these daughters that you've given us, that you've given these parents, that you've given these grandparents that are watching, they're listening. God, I pray that we as parents and grandparents, Lord, that we would be the guardians over them. Father, we have been given this responsibility to guard and keep our homes and keep these port of entries closed. Lord, if there's anything in our homes, if there's anything in our homes and our lives that are ports of entry, they're accesses to our children to wound them and put holes in their soul and wound their spirits. I pray that you would reveal it to us right now by the Holy Ghost. Lord, if there's books, if there's videos, if there's music, if there's entertainment, if there's whatever it may be, anything that we've allowed to come into our home and gain access to our home that is a magnet for bondage and for ports of entry. Lord, let us be guardians over what we watch on television, things that we can access points, things that can open the atmosphere of our homes to demonic powers and spirits and cause division and strife and discord and bondage and addictions. God, we repent, Lord, if we've allowed this. We repent if we've opened the doors for this. We repent if we've entertained these things and we've partaken of these things. And I ask that you'd have mercy upon us and that you would, that we just plead the blood of Jesus over our children. We plead the blood of Jesus over our sons and over our daughters. And we declare that, devil, you can't have them in Jesus' name. We declare your hands be off them, lifted off them. We ask that you'd put a hedge of angels about them in Jesus' name. God, if we've allowed somehow, some way, we've already allowed some of this to take place, I pray that God, upon your mercy and your grace, that you would stop it even now in Jesus' name and you would repair the breach. Oh, hallelujah. Man, I felt something in my spirit right there because I know, listen, in Isaiah chapter 58, I know that if there's people still praying and fasting, one of the things that God said he'll bring in Isaiah chapter 58, he says, through fasting, I'll make you a repairer of the breach. Let me say that again. I will make you a repairer. You will be an individual who repairs the breach. There may be, oh, come on, who am I talking to tonight? Hallelujah. There's somebody that's watching and listening. Alcohol has taken victims in your lives, taken victims of your family. Drugs have taken victims in your family. Pornography has taken victims in your family. Addictions have taken victim in your family. And you say, tonight, as for me and my house, it stops here. We draw a plumb line in the sand. We make our face like flint. We draw a line and we say it stops here and it goes no more in Jesus' name. We shall repair the breach in Jesus' name. And we repair it through prayer. We repair it through repentance. We repair it through mercy. It is repaired through grace and it is repaired through the blood of Jesus in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, pray. Come on, mamas and daddies. Don't just listen. You pray. You intercede. You open your mouth. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Spirit. Pray over your family. If you can, put your hands on their heads. Lay hands on them. Anoint them with oil. Decree, declare, loose, and bind. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, that the devil shall not have our kids in Jesus' name. No more addiction. No more bondage. Come on. How many members that old song? No more shackles, no more chains. Come on, shake off those chains and those shackles in Jesus' name. If you're watching and you're listening right now in Jesus' name and you recognize by the Holy Spirit that you were one of these, at one time you were that child that was wounded. You, at one time, you were that child that was open up to a hurt. You were open up to a wound. You were open up to a breach. A breach was made through your parents. A breach was made through circumstances. A breach was made through a stranger. It was open through abuse. It was open through molestation. It was open through pornography. It was open through a sip of alcohol. It was open through a drag of a cigarette. It was open through a line that was snorted. It was open through a needle in the arm. It was open through a one line of coke that was snorted. And whatever I don't care what the bondage is, what the addiction is, and what the stronghold is, the name of Jesus is able to destroy and set you free in Jesus' name, and whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you're making whole. Lord, what the enemy tried to destroy us, I thank you. What the enemy intended for evil, you're turning it around and making it for good in Jesus' name. Come on, there's some preachers, there's some men and women of God who the devil is trying to keep you down, but God is lifting you up. The devil tried to take you out, but now you're going out. You're going out to the highways and the byways, and you're compelling them to come into the house of the Lord. You're coming into strangers. You're coming into addicts. You're coming into prostitutes. You're coming into the homeless. You're coming into the widows, and you're coming with your testimony. The Bible says that they overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You say, well, preacher, I don't know the word like you do. I can't quote the word like you do. Well, honey, you may not be able to quote the word. You may not be able to preach the word. You may not memorize the scripture. But listen, nobody can take away your testimony. Oh, come on. Can I preach just a moment here? The woman at the well, you know what she preached? She went back to the village. She didn't quote scripture. She went back there and says, come out here and meet a man that I had an encounter with that told me everything about me. You got to meet this man that changed my life. He changed my life in so much and so fast that I didn't even bring my bucket. I forgot about the entire intent of what I came here for. Oh, that's right. I brought a bucket out there to get water, but I found the living water that I will never thirst again. Come on. The man at the Gadarenes, when he was set free and put in his right mind, he pleaded to go with Jesus, and Jesus said, no, I don't need you. He said, I know you want to come and follow me and be used for me. He said, the best thing you can, I'm paraphrasing here, so just let me cook for a minute. He said, the best thing you can do is not come follow me and be another preacher, another disciple. I want, if you'll just go back into the village and tell them what I've done. Come on, this is a man who the whole village, the whole town, the whole city knew he was demonized. They knew that he was bound. And when he came in his right mind, the Bible says the whole region came out to see this Jesus whom had set this man free. Who am I talking to today? I'm telling you, guys, I don't know about you, but this is the thing that drives me. This is the thing, this is the ammunition, if you would, that God told me many, many years ago when he raised me up to preach the gospel in 2000 when I got saved. I said, Lord, what am I going to preach? He said, just go and open your mouth. He said, don't think about what you're going to say. Don't ask. He said, just open your mouth and I will fill it, saith the Lord. Just tell them what I did for you. Tell them how I brought you out of the mire and clay and set your foot upon the rock and established your goings. Come on, that's all you got to do. Because listen, the world doesn't need more preachers. They need more people living the life of Christ. It's not going to be our words that bring people into the kingdom as much as it's going to be our lifestyles. Because we can preach and put a mask on and put a religious facade on. But come on, the real you is going to be known by the people that you have influence over. Listen, you can hide from everybody else, but your family knows the real you when you get behind closed doors. And you get in the secret place and you get away from the public eye, they know who you really are. So when you have a real encounter and you go back with them, they'll say there's something about you that ain't right. You don't talk like you used to. You don't use those four-letter words anymore. How come you don't lie anymore? How come you don't steal anymore? How come you don't want to go down to the club anymore? Why do you not want to go to the bar anymore? How come you don't want to play this and do that and do this and do that anymore? And you will say to them, I'm glad you asked, because you know that I came up in a lifestyle of molestation and bondage and addiction and struggle and this and that. But look what the Lord has done. Come on, can I get somebody type amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah, something in the chat tonight to give God glory. Jesus, I thank you tonight. I'm telling you guys, I feel the Lord is moving in this place tonight. When I say this place, he's moving in your office, your living room, your kitchen, this studio, my office. I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. So listen, we love you. We appreciate you. And as always, guys, if this ministry of any value to you, it's a blessing to you. We would always love for you guys to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that electronically through the app, through the website, through PayPal, Venmo, Cash App, right there at the top of YouTube where it says support. You can click there, whatever the case may be, or you can give by check or money order right there at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. Again, we are a partner-based ministry. We don't sell merchandise. The app's free. Everything is free. So we appreciate your generous, your support and your partnership of our ministries. So listen, we love you. We appreciate you. We'll see you guys on our next podcast on Wednesday, January 22nd. God bless you. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.